2 Corinthians chapter 5 in your Bibles this evening. We're going to begin tonight in verse number 14. I want to read from there down to verse number 21. But verses 14 and 15 tonight will be our text this evening. I've entitled this message tonight, Straining Against the Leash. And we'll talk about that here in a moment tonight. But let's begin with me at verse number 14. You follow along as I read down to verse number 21. Here Paul writes and he says, For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth now know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, but given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made his righteousness of God in him. Lord, tonight we are very thankful for the Bible. And Father, it gives us all the instruction and the answers that we need to be profitable. Father, to be that man of God, that Christian, that believer, that brings glory to you, Father. Tonight I'm very thankful for your word, and I pray tonight that you'd help us this evening. Spirit of God, we need your help in illuminating us and teaching us. Open our hearts to receive your word. And may, Father, we not leave here, Lord Jesus Christ, unchanged. But Father, may you help us this evening to walk closer to you. Now, God, make this scripture tonight come alive to us, Father. And we'll thank you for it. We pray in your name. Amen. Straining against the leash. My wife and I, we try to, several times throughout the week, we try to get up early and go for a walk. We have a route that we take. Sometimes we do it backwards. We have a route that we take. It takes us about 35 minutes or so to do that. We walk about 2 miles and then come home and go back. No, we don't go back to bed, but we like to. But on that walk, there are, of course, we get to see people at the same time every day and the same walkers. And we have gotten used to which houses have dogs. And so those are the houses that I usually slow down a little bit, let my wife walk first. And but anyway, there are dogs in that on the way we walk. There are dogs that, of course, they notice us, but they don't pay us much mind. They know that we're there, but they're happy to be in their own little area and sit on the porch and just watch us. And they just walk. We walk past, and they don't hardly bark or move. But there's a dog that's a little different, and it's the same dog, same house, same corner, and he's on a leash. And when we walk by, it makes a difference how many times we've walked by him, how many times we've spoken to him. That dog is always trying to, the leash comes by within about 5 feet of the sidewalk. And so he's always trying to strains against that leash to get at us. Now I'm not sure if he wants to bite us or if he just wants us to pet him. And so, my wife's not yet made friends with him yet. And I'm not going to try to venture on the property to find out if I can pet him or not. But he's always straining against the leash and trying to get away. And the Lord spoke to my heart about that as watching that. And so no doubt that the leash is there, to protect us. The owner puts the dog out in the morning and so the dog can do its business. But no doubt it's there to protect us. But most likely, the leash is more for the dog's sake than it is for ours. I can only imagine if that dog had no leash. Most likely it would be gone down the road chasing after some other distraction or chasing us or a car or whatever, and that dog would be gone. So the dog is there for, the leash is there for us, for it's not only our protection, but the protection of the dog. And the Lord spoke to my heart about how the Christians are like those dogs. There are Christians tonight, like the first dog, that when we walk by, it sees us. It's happy to acknowledge us that we're there. But it's happy to be on that porch. It's happy to be in that yard. It makes no attempt to chase us. It makes no attempt to get away. It's just happy to be where it's at and be with their master. There's another type of Christian, like the second dog, that they're always straining against the leash. Always straining against the leash. They're not happy in Christ. And they're not happy with where they're at. They're not happy with their life. And so they're always straining against the leash to get away, to chase somebody, something else, and always trying to push the limits and to chase after some temptation. And always able, or they're always straining at the leash to able to chase at some worldly or fleshly pleasure. They're saved and they're God's people, but they're not happy to be where they're at, and so they're always straining against that leash to get away. And if that leash were to break or they slip out of their collar, you know as well as I do, there are some dogs that would be gone. And we've never had the luxury to have a dog. Now we've had several dogs. But none of them ever like to be at home. And they're the dogs that, you know, kind of want to run. And you could train them. You could, you know, walk around your yard with them and say, no, you can't go there, and do all kinds of things. And we had one dog, a collie, that was fairly decent for a while. But most dogs that we've had, if they're off the leash, they are down the road, gone. And you may or may not see them again. In fact, we had one dog when it took off the last time. I was like, I could care less where that dog goes, if he comes back or not. And I'm not chasing him again. And unfortunately, he came back. Anyway, there are some Christians that are like that. There are some who are happy to be in Christ. And they're not chasing squirrels and rabbits and temptations. They're just happy to be where they're at. But there are some that are they're always straining at the collar, at the leash, to chase some distraction. And if that leash were to have a weakness or they were to slip out of their collar, they would be gone in a moment and chasing their own dreams, their own pleasures. The flesh of every believer is prone to wander. It's amazing how fast that Christians wander from God. Think of that song, Come Thou Fountain. That third verse says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Take it, seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. We are prone to wander. And there are some Christians that are just always straining at the leash to get away. The only thing that holds them back from sin is the commandments and standards of the Bible. That's all that holds them back. That's the only thing that keeps them in check. The thou shalt nots of the Bible. And God's word holds them back. And if it weren't for the thou shalt nots, they would be gone down the road in a heartbeat. And just as a dog, if there's some weakness in the leash or the collar, if they can wiggle out of God's word, they would be gone and chasing their own silly notions and their own ideas and their own dreams. Now the dog has a leash, and we also, the Christian, has the word of God. And we call it the law. But I want you to see something tonight about this law. Hold your place in 2 Corinthians and come with me to the right, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to notice a scripture here about this illustration now. But the truth of the matter that we, as a Christian, we have a leash. It's called the law. But I want you to see tonight from the scripture in some few moments here that God does not want us to live on the leash. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. So the Bible, God's commands, the thou shalt nots, God says in His word that they're good. It's not legalistic. Right. You know, only legalistic about the word of God if we try to, about standards or principles or truths, if we try to somehow say if you don't do certain things, you can't be saved. And we're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. But the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Now watch what it says, verse number 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. So God wants us to go beyond the law, but it gives us the purpose tonight for the law. It is used as a leash, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So we find that the law is not made, the Christian is not to be living on the leash. It's not made for us to strain against the leash. It's made for the, unbeliever. It's made for the, person that doesn't want to be, contained or held, constrained or live by God's word. And so the purpose of the Bible is the same thing as a leash on a dog. It's to keep him in place. Right? You have a kennel or you have a leash because you don't want that dog running down the road, getting in trouble or getting killed. And so we find that the commandments of the Word of God, of course, for the unbeliever, it is there to reveal that they are a sinner. And you can't be born again. You can't get saved without realizing first, I'm a sinner and I need help. I can't save myself. But once you get born again, the law is still there. It still says that thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit adultery. There's still the God has commandments in His Word. And so the law, for some folks, the law is that leash that keeps them in the yard. Because you and I know that our flesh is prone to wander, and there are some believers who, though they're saved and receive Christ as their Savior, they're always trying to chase some temptation or chase some sin, and they don't want to be confined, and they're always straining against the leash, trying to jump and run and get down the road on their own. And the Word of God, if it wasn't for thou shalt not, they'd be gone. And so there are some folks that if they had the opportunity to lie, they would lie. But God says, thou shalt not lie. So that constrains them, it holds them back. And so they live on the leash, but always wanting to get off the leash. There are some Christians that because the Bible says it's wrong to drink, and that's the only reason they don't drink, but if they could get away with it, they would. If they could somehow, you know, slip it in there, they would do that. And so the law acts as that leash, but the problem is they're straining again, they're not happy in the yard. They're always trying to get down the road a little ways. So the law is that leash that holds that wayward, that wandering believer in the yard, so to speak. Now the law is for the lawless and disobedient. And the thou shalt nots are for the believer always trying to chase the world's temptations and trying to chase after the world's distractions. The commandments and standards of the Bible are for the protection of the Christian, always trying to get away. Now we find in verse number 19 of our same chapter here, 1 Timothy 8:1, it says verse 18, this I charge I commit unto thee, O son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. When you leave the Word of God and you slip out of that collar and you run down the road chasing after worldly pleasures and temptation, the result is always the same, shipwreck. Again, we put our pets sometimes on leashes because we know that if they go down the road by themselves, they could get hit by a car, they could get lost. Not all dogs can find their way home. Something could happen to them. And so we put them on the leash to keep them in the yard and for their own protection. And so God, He writes the Bible and He gives the commands of the Bible and His principles and His truths for that Christian that wants to push down the road a little ways to keep him from being shipwrecked. And if you slip off the collar and run on and do your own thing, the result will always be shipwreck. Boy, I wish that we would get that as God's people, that we would know and believe that we can't violate the principles of God's Word and expect there to be a good end, to expect that somehow God's going to bless my life in rebellion and disobedience to His Word. Now today the world says, well, that's cultish and that's just too strict. Well, we see where they're going. The insanity of the world today is crazy. And it's amazing. And the believer not careful, we chase after the same silly insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results. And but God says, when you violate His Word, and you get off the leash, and run down the road and do your own thing, it's always going to be shipwreck. Now, here's the message tonight. You can live the Christian life without straining against the leash. Look back tonight at our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to notice what the Bible says here. You can live the Christian life without straining against the leash, always trying to get down the road and chase a squirrel, a rabbit, or somebody, some temptation. Verse 14, it says this, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Now, the word constrain means to hold in. It means to press upon. And so Paul didn't say that the law of Christ constrains us. He didn't say the Ten Commandments constrain me. He didn't say that thou shalt not constrain me. Now, they were still there. The law is still there. The law is still good. But he didn't say that's what constrains me. He said the love of Christ constrains me. He said, because we thus judged that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He said, listen, if Christ died for all men, that means that all men were sinners. All men were dead in their sins and trespasses. Then verse 15, he says this, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He said, listen, his love constrains me. I'm not chomping at the leash. I'm not straining at the leash to get away because I don't need the leash to keep me on the porch. I don't need the leash to keep me in my yard, to keep me in God's will because his love constrains me. And I realize if Christ died for me, I can live for him. If he gave his life that I might be made righteous, and he took upon my sin upon himself and became sin for me who knew no sin, then at the very least, I could live my life for him. So he was content, he was happy to be in Christ, happy to be a believer, happy to live. Listen, he didn't need the law to say, thou shalt not lie, because he said, because I'm in Christ, I'm a new creature, and I'm not going to lie because I love him. He didn't have to have the law say, hey, listen, don't touch the wine when it moves itself aright. Don't get drunk with wine when it's excess. He didn't need that law, though it was still there. He simply said, I'm not going to get drunk because I love Christ. I'm happy to be in Christ. I don't need the law to bop me on the head or hold me back because his love holds me back. His love constrains me. Now, if he was like some other Christians that wanted to chase the rabbits and the squirrels, the temptations of his life, he would need a leash. But he'd be that unhappy Christian that was already straining to get away. It's amazing how some folks in the Christian life and how that we're prone to, as soon as a leash comes off, we are gone. And this takes us for some just a few days or a few hours or some event that happens in their life, and the leash comes off and they are like a dog down the road and not looking back and living their own life. But yet profess salvation. Tonight you can live without straining against the leash. The same song, Prone to Wander, Come Thou Fount, the very first part of that verse says this, O to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Now watch, listen to this. He says this, let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. He didn't say, let thy law bind my heart to thee. Let thy goodness, like a fetter. I don't need a leash, God. I want your love to constrain me. How do we then tonight, here's the message tonight. How does a person become happy to be in Christ? Happy to be in the porch. So that way when people walk by, or a rabbit goes by, listen, those dogs are prone to chase squirrels, rabbits, cats, other dogs, people's cars, hubcaps, fire hydrants. They're prone to that. And so the owner, if they want a good dog there that takes discipline and training and come back here and shock collars. And that's what, by the way, some Christians need shock collars. Boom, you're talking too much. A bark collar. I'm afraid I'd have one of those too, wouldn't I? How does a person become happy to be, you know what, I'm happy on the porch. I'm happy in Christ. I'm going to give you tonight three quick thoughts tonight. Well, I don't know how quick they'll be, but they'll be quick because I usually talk fast. But number one is this, very simple tonight. Number one is this, be content in Christ. Be content in Christ. He is enough. Look with me at the book of Philippians chapter number 4, please. You see, that dog chases that distraction down the road thinking that he has to have that thing and he's not content. You know, he's at home with his master. He gets fed. He gets a place to sleep. He gets a water, treats, and toys, and care, and his ears scratched, and all kinds of things. He gets spoiled, but when he sees that distraction, he's down the road because he's not content to be at home, to be on the porch. Be content in Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. We find this truth now written by a man who's in prison. In a prison. All right? Look what he says in verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheth me. Now there is some great truth here. This message goes deeper than saying, be content with the money you have. It goes deeper than saying, be content with food and raiment. Now, that is a great truth. We ought to be content with what we have. And Paul's not saying here, listen, because you're content, take a vow of poverty and let people provide for you and live off the government. Right. He's not saying that. He's not saying it's wrong to work or want to do more for the Lord or to even make money. He's not saying that at all. Here's everybody goes beyond being content with just our food and raiment. Paul's saying here, he said, listen, he goes, I am content with Jesus. I'm content with Jesus. He goes, listen, I thank you, church at Philippi, I thank you for caring for me while I'm in prison. And I appreciate the love offering and the gift and the thoughtfulness. It means a lot to me. But I'm going to tell you something. I am content with Jesus. I'm content with where He's placed me. Christ has what I need. I'm content with being saved. I'm content with His mercy and His grace. I'm content with His will. I'm satisfied. It's not just, hey, I have food and raiment, or I'm content with Jesus Christ. There He is, He's in prison, and though I'm sure, no doubt He loved to be out, He was content to be on the porch where God placed Him. I'm content, I'm happy in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm content with His will when I'm hungry and suffering. You see, all of a sudden, there are times in our Christian life when we face obstacles and we face some adversity, we think we got to get off the porch and run somewhere else. No, we got to be saying, listen, Lord, if it's in your will for me to suffer right now, to be hungry, I'm content I'm content with Christ and with His will. He's saying, I'm content with His will when I'm full and have all things. I see, either one of those things can throw a Christian sideways. When you have to suffer being abased, we can blame God and say, God, if this is how it's going to be, I'm going to go do something else with my life. And we leave. We slip out of the collar and down the road we go chasing something else. But you can say, listen, I'm content where God's placed me. I'm content with His will for my life. That means suffering. Then I'm content to be where God placed me to be. There are some folks that when they start abounding some, all of a sudden, now I don't need Christ so much. And that money takes him down the road as well. And Paul said, listen, he goes, I can do all things through Christ. He said, listen, I am satisfied with Jesus. Tonight, let me tell you something. I know that sometimes things in life aren't fair. And folks sometimes can do crazy things to us and around us and against us. But my friend, tonight, you can be content in Jesus. This idea that if things don't go my way, I'm dumping Christ. Well, listen, dogs behave better than that. You're telling me tonight that we as believers are no better than a dog? Dogs behave better than that. Man, you can get mad at a dog and kick it and hit it and say, get out of here! And that dog come back to you 10 minutes later licking your face and your hands looking for attention. See, a dog is a man's best friend. You know why a dog loves you? You don't want to tell if a dog loves you more than a wife does? Put them both in the trunk for 15 minutes. Lock them in the trunk of your car and see who's happy to see when you open it up. Yeah, a dog loves a person more than sometimes a wife will. No. No, because a dog can't shoot a gun. You ought to be content with His calling on your life. Be content in Christ. Be content with the gifts He's given you. Be content with where He's placed you in the body of Christ. This idea of always straining at the leash, trying to get down the road somewhere and chase some other thing. No, be content. Say, Lord, I'm satisfied with You. Be content in Christ. Be content with the gifts He's given you. He's given us all different gifts. So things that I can't do that You can do. It's this idea, well, you know, no, be content with that. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. I'm content, not just with what I have as far as food and raiment. He said, I'm content with Jesus. And so when you face adversity or face abounding, simply realize that tonight is all, I'm content with Jesus Christ. I'm satisfied with Him. All that I need, He has all that I need, and all I need and all I want is Him. Number two, be content in Christ. Number two, be a friend to God. Be a friend to God. Look with me at the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4, look with me at verse number 4. How to be happy in Christ. Be happy on the porch. Be content in Christ. Be a friend to God. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's a tough verse. We forget that verse quite often. But God said this, and listen, if you are a friend of this world and its system and its culture and its fashions and slavery, you're not a friend to Me. He says, verse number 5, do you think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? There's that dog nature. There's that prone to wander. Listen, if it wasn't for you know as well as I do tonight, if it wasn't for, hey, be faithful, be in church, tonight some of us wouldn't be here. If God didn't say, don't forsake some of yourself together, some of us wouldn't, if He said, listen, hey, just come whenever you want to come, we would do that. This idea of three times a week, well, that's crazy. Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we could be home in the comfort of our own home. No, so the Word of God constrains us because our spirit is prone to wander. But verse number 6 says this, but He giveth more grace, wherefore saith God, resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Watch it now. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. We find that Abraham was called a friend of God. What a great title to have. Tonight, is that our title? A friend to God. You say, well, God's my friend. Well, are you His friend? He's saying, draw nigh to Me. They say again that a dog is a man's best friend. There are some dogs with extreme loyalty. Extreme loyalty. There are some dogs that are bred that way. They just have extreme loyalty to their family, to their owners. And you couldn't get on the property if you wanted to, because that dog is going to protect their family. But there are some dogs that are not so loyal. They're loyal to whoever's got food in their hand, right? Whoever has the bone, that's who they're loyal to. And we've had dogs like that. We do not tend to have loyalty to God. Be a friend of God. Draw nigh to God. Listen, you don't need to, listen. You won't need a leash on if you're drawing nigh to Him. Right? You ever see those people that walk dogs? And there are some dogs that, they better have a leash because they're walking the owner. Listen, they're the one doing the walking and the owner's pulling them back and constantly. But I've seen some dogs don't even need a leash right there at the owner's heel. No matter where he goes, that dog is there. It can be in a crowd. It can be uptown. It can be on the street corner. That dog is right there with their owner. That dog doesn't need a leash because it's drawn nigh to the owner. You want to be happy in Christ Jesus and happy to be on the porch? Quit being a friend of the world and be a friend of God. So, preacher, my neck's sore. That's because you're jerking against the leash all the time. I come to church and I leave whiplashed. That's because you're jerking against the leash at times. Hey, draw nigh to God. And by the way, anything that pulls away from God, that's the wrong friend to have. Anything that pulls you away from the Lord Jesus Christ and walking with Him, you're trying to make friends with the wrong individual, the wrong thing. Draw nigh to God. I encourage you tonight, if you're jerking against the leash and straining against the leash, turn around. Everything that you're looking for, you can find in Christ Jesus. What you're looking for, you can find on your own porch, in your own yard, with your own master. Well, I'm looking for some peace and contentment, some joy, some happiness, and just a purpose in my life. You'll find that with Christ Jesus. You're going to find it, of course, in a bottle somewhere. You're going to find it running around, shacking up, person to person. You're going to find it rebelling against God, shaking your fist at Him and saying, how dare God? No, you're going to find it on the porch where God's placed you, in His yard. Be happy in Christ Jesus. Quit jerking against the leash. Well, how do I do that? Be content in Christ. I'm happy and content to be a Christian. I'm content to look like one and act like one and talk like one and be in church and be with God. I'm content with that. I don't need the world's temptations or distractions. I don't need the world's fun entertainment. We are so deceived today in Christianity. I was looking for some other distraction to try to find that peace or joy when it's right there all the time in Christ Jesus. Be content in Christ. Be a friend to God. He's been a great friend. You be a friend to Him. Draw nigh to Him. I wonder tonight if we were to treat our spouses like we treat, if we were to treat God like we treat, if we were to treat our spouses like we treat God, if they would know that we love them, if we're their friend. If we would treat our friends like we treat God sometimes, would our friends know that we're a friend to them? Your best friend ought to be God. Draw nigh to Him. Get close to Him. Well, I know you don't know Him because you don't draw nigh to Him. He's more than just black words on white paper. He's real. And He wants to be your friend. And He invites you to draw nigh to Him. And so how to be happy in Christ, be content in Christ, be a friend of God. And lastly tonight is this. Very simple. Learn to love Him. Fall in love with Him. Look with me at the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 4. He writes in our text tonight, His love constrains me. But part of that, not only was Christ's love to him, but His love for Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6, you know the text here this evening, the verses here. Here is the testimony of a dying man before he's martyred for the cause of Christ. And he says this in verse number 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." You know what Paul is saying? I've stayed on the porch. I'm not chased after distractions and temptations. I'm not chased every squirrel, every rabbit that's gone by. I have stayed on the porch. I've been happy in Christ Jesus. Verse number 8, he says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing." I believe Paul's saying this. He's either constrained by love, I've been constrained with love. I've decided a long time ago, because He died for me, I'll live for Him. And His love constrains me, but my love for Him also constrains me. I'm constrained by love and with love. And because I love Him, I don't want to lie. Because I love Him, I don't want to chase down the road of some other distractions. I don't want to be always jerking at the leash and straining at the leash to get away. I'm content to be where God's placed me because I simply love Him. Well, Peter writes the same thing in 1 Peter 1:8, "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Peter said, listen, because we've not seen Him yet, but we know Him and we love Him. And because of that, we are full of glory, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hey, he's saying, I'm happy to be in the porch. I'm happy to be in God's will. I don't need a leash to hold me in. My love for Him holds me in. His love for me holds me in. Tell you something, that's a lot better way to live the Christian life than living on a leash. You know, people that complain about the leash, the law of God the most, folks straining against the leash. When you think, listen, you know, I want to be faithful to my wife, not because of a marriage license or a wedding ring. That's what holds me in. I'm in trouble. You see, what holds me in to be faithful to her is because she loves me and I love her. The ring, I don't need a ring to keep me in. I don't need a certificate that says you're married to keep me in. I don't even need vows anymore to hold me in. But my love holds me in. Her love for me holds me in. And that's what it should be in a Christian life. I don't need to have thou shalt nots rammed down my throat and be jerked back all the time by a chain saying, thou shalt not do that. I don't need it because His love holds me in. And because He loves me, I'm going to live for Him. And because I love for Him, I want to be that new creature in Christ Jesus. I want to be happy and content on His porch because I love Him. 1 Peter 2:7, He said this, unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same as the head of the corner. In fact, He said, listen, to disobedient, Christ is a stumbling block, a rock of offense. He's that least that jerks them back. But unto us that believe and are obedient, He's precious. He's precious. A leash isn't required when you love Him. You know, when folks come to church like this, all they see is the thou shalt nots and the rules. What do you mean all your women wear is dresses? Oh, I can't believe that. And that's the first thing they see. Dresses and dress code and this thing and that thing. I can't do this. You know what they're doing? They're straining against the leash. Trying to squirm out. Hello? But when you love Him, all those things is not a problem. All of a sudden, all the modesty issues, it's a mute point. Why? Because I love Him. Whatever He asks me to do, I'll do. That's because I love Him. I love Him. Hey, this thing of drinking and running around and wrong movies and wrong music, there's no problem. You don't have to jam it down my throat. I don't need a bunch of preachers to get up here and pound the pulpit and holler and scream and spit about standards because, you know, I love Him. I love Him. It's not the law that keeps me in on the porch. It's His love that keeps me here because I know that all I need is in Jesus. And if He had loved me enough to die for me, surely that I can live for Him and give my life to Him. Tonight, listen, we need the Word of God. We need the thou shalt nots. Because there are times for all of us that keeps us on the porch. But we don't have to live our life jerking against a chain, training against the leash. We can live our life happy in our own yard where God has placed us in His will by just being content in Christ. I'm content to be a believer. I'm content to be a Christian. I'm content to be a child of God. I'm content with His will. And I want to be a friend to God. Be His friend. And I want to love Him. I want to love Him. When you love Him, a leash isn't required. Now let me say this tonight and be done. Dogs are wonderful animals and we've always talked about getting a dog, but we're so busy half the time. But dogs are pack animals. Dogs like being with other dogs, right? And when a stray dog comes by your house and through your neighborhood, that stray dog has the potential to take your dog with it. Because dogs are pack animals. And a stray dog sometimes will tempt your dog, and the way it goes. And I've seen in towns, and I've seen in the country, domestic dogs almost become wild dogs because they just take and they run and they run and they run, and you can't hardly get them. We had two little dogs, and when I grew up at home, we lived out in the country. We had two small dogs. They were content to be in the yard. They were good dogs. Then we got this mutt given to us, and that dog wouldn't stay in the yard. And sometimes you'd find those three animals miles away from home, miles from our house. We'd pull over and say, hey, get home! And boy, they'd just take off for home, you know. But that big old dog, that big old mutt, man, he was a stray dog that liked to run, and those other dogs would go with him. I'll say something to you tonight, and I'll watch and listen to this. You don't have to agree with anything I say tonight, but this here is something that's true. When you slip through the collar, you find a weak spot in the leash, and you take off, you will take somebody with you. Men and women are pack animals, if I can put it that way. We like to run in packs. Not very many, there are very few loners in this world. Tonight, when you buck against the Word of God, and you sit by the collar and say, I'm free to do what I want to do, you will take somebody else with you when you go. You might take a spouse. You might take your children, your grandchildren. You might take a neighbor, a friend, another church member. You'll take somebody with you. And I want to remind you tonight, when you buck against God's Word, violate His Scripture tonight, let's say something. For the believer that loves Christ, the thou shalt not, they're there for me, but I don't have to live by them. It's not an issue because I love Him. But they're there for a reason. And you can't violate those principles and those commands and be better off for it. You can't bless that. And so when you get out of the leash and you run down the road and you do your own thing, you're going to take somebody with you, but you also put them in a position where God has to judge them. Paul did say in 2 Corinthians 5, they're all going to give an account before God one day. We're going to give an account. And I want to be known for the Christian that doesn't just do it, I have to because of thou shalt and thou shalt not, but for the man that lived for Christ because I knew He loved me and I loved Him. Thank you. Be careful. Be careful. I don't like that you're better than a dog. I'm not saying tonight that we're dogs. But be careful what type of person you are. Are you a Christian tonight that's always straining against the leash, wanting to get out of here, wanting to get down the road, chase something else, not happy to be on your own yard, on your own porch? Or are you a Christian that says, you know what, I'm content. I'm not getting whiplash. My neck's not broken. My neck's not hurting. I'm not getting shocked every day for barking too much or chasing something down the road. I'm happy to be where Christ placed me because I'm content in Christ. I want to be a friend of God, and I just want to love Him. I want to love Him. Lord, tonight we come to You in closing. We thank You, Father, for the testimony that Paul said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And it compelled him. It held him in. It limited him some things. Lord, he didn't cry about it. He didn't whine about it. He didn't strain against the leash. But Lord, he was content and happy to be in Christ Jesus, to be Your friend, to love You, Father. Well, tonight may we take this very simple message tonight and learn, Father, from it. And Lord, not to always strain against the leash to get down the road some. God, please, I pray, bless our families. We ask tonight in Your name and pray. Amen.